Cotrimia, don't talk to me, we're culture.
Go on, go.
There's no culture in Cork. I'll tell you about culture. The Butter Exchange Brass and Reed Band. Well, that's culture. It was men playing that who played for royalty. Old Fusiliers trained in London. There was one fellow Stapleton, he played for the King at Windsor Palace. There were 7 or 8 bands in Cork in that time. They'd be besting each other for Sunday morning down the park. Such rivalry. And that's back in the 40s now. Inquires? Don't talk to me about that choral festival. Bring in fellas from abroad. There were great choirs in Cork long before that. I remember up in the North Cathedral, Brother Jerome had a choir. Bass, baritone, tenor, whatever you like. Alice Fleissman was stunned when he heard him. He couldn't believe it. Culture night, how are you? Do you know what killed culture in Cork? The Republicans. When they burned down the Opera House. My God, the old Opera House. What a beautiful building. It had a wonderful soccer entrance coming out onto Emmett Place. And the gorgeous old metal staircase inside. And the shows of Saturday night. My God, Gilbert and Sullivan. The Gondoliers. Now that was the show. You know that, your father was in it. The Gilbert and Sullivan Society. That's not music, I don't know at all. Even Sunday Miscellany's got the pot. Gone are the days when you would hear John McCormack of a morning singing a beautiful melody from Thomas Moore. Now it's all Abbott, the Beatles. I wouldn't give a tuppence for them. That's culture for you. They're all culture now. But they're a year of culture and they're culture day. All you have to do now is pick up a brush and you're an artist. I could tell you about art. James Barry from Watery Lane. Worked himself up from nothing. Painted the gods. That's what art should be about. Mirroring the heavens. Do you ever see any of his stuff? Classical. That's what it's all about. Copying the ancients, studying the masters. Like St. Mary's on the Pope's Quay, or the courthouse. Well, that's really architecture. Not like that St. Francis. They ruined that too. Knocked down a beautiful building to build that Byzantine thing. What do they know about churches? The Greeks? Italians. That's who we should follow. That's where culture was born. Michelangelo, Da Vinci, Pavarotti. There's no culture in Cork. Not anymore. The only culture's in the butter. And even that's not right. I could tell you about butter, real butter, maybe one way.
Fabulous, Colin. Well done. That's really, really enjoyed that. Okay, we're going to get started with our open mic. And number one on the list we've got is a man by the name of three initials, JJF, Jason J. Fisher. Big round of applause, please.
This piece is called Diamond Shine. Most are, for the most part, complacent. Look at their eyes, so vacant. They won't understand how to generate a genesis. They'll just want to stand somehow art adjacent, seeing what leaks from the hands and heart of Jason, because my name is Jason J. Fisher. All I want is to write with such insight, the words are considered scripture. Go out at night chasing the light to free stars which flicker in a picture. But I was stressing, then guessing, now assessing that the absolute best thing is when it's all coalescing into the next thing, the correct thing. But back then, my thoughts were often scattered, lost within lots of plots, but without chapters. Carefully considering how it all stops and are there hereafters. Because right now we're here. What about after? And I find, if you find the time to mind your mind, then mind your mind. You'll find you can redesign your mind, refine your mind. Then compressed carbon hardens, realigns into 100% pure, unadulterated, unmitigated, marvelous, crystalline diamond shine.
Big thank you to Jason J. Fisher. I actually forgot to mention once again, the Munster Poetry Slam is on the 10th of October here, 8:30. And if you're interested to participate and compete, contact O'Vail at info@ovail.ie. So if you're up for that challenge, do please get in touch. The next poet on the list is Antonio De Mare.
Thank you for being here this evening. And this poem that I am going to read now, it's called The Daily Luminescence. It's based on those moments of everyday life where somehow, even if we are doing something sort of repetitive, then everything stops and then comes something special. I have even challenged myself, and on the last five verses I am going to read something that I have tried to translate into Irish. After, I will try even the translation into English. So, daily luminescence. 11:37 a.m. Cleaning the room. Window slightly open. Flying pieces of dust shine like spaceships. The perfume of the pages of an old book is mixed with the perfume of a soap. The pillow restores the thoughts. flames on a liquid mattress, the balance that regulates the unknown. My suitcase is on the corner, full of journeys and miles. Marilyn Monroe's eyes, lips, face, and mouth, violated and repeated, never belonged to anyone. Innocent desire. Gloch. Gloch is here and Focal. Torment primordial. Gluche gant theorein. Idir broin nabieta. Stone. The world is a stone. Primordial rumble. Endless play between the bowels of existence. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Antonio. Actually, just for anyone who's just come, there's more room in the list, so if you want to get your name on, just call this for me. So next, could we have Patricia Walsh, please?
Thank you, Jim. I launched my book there. It's called In the Days of Poor Cortina at the Cork City Library there last Saturday. And I still have copies if anybody wants to pick one up afterwards. So I'll start at the beginning. So I'll start at the beginning. That she's poor Cortina of the novel is kind of a very wayward student, and she gets herself expelled on purpose because there's a teacher at the school who's obsessively interviewing her and assessing her for a master's degree, and she also happens to be engaged to her dad, and she's can't take this constant surveillance. So here it is. Chapter 1. Slam the door behind you if you wish, said Sister Eukaria. For once, Cortina did as she was told. The slam sent shockwaves through this corridor and spilt, as she sensed, out onto the teacher's car park. She stayed outside momentarily, enough to listen to the nuggets of wisdom from the teachers that was also down to the cliche regarding the situation. Did you see how readily she took that expulsion order? No whimpering, no explanation, excuse, nothing. It's almost insulting. And for what? Overseeing a DVD player, snarled Miss Clark, the vice principal. That was just a technicality. She was headed that way anyways, intoned Miss Parlin, the class teacher. You have to feel sorry for her. She never had a mother to set her straight. She died young, to the best of my recollection. Poor King, said Eukaria. I thought Marie, you know, Miss Matheson, the new teacher, would have sorted her out, being engaged to her dad and all that. But she's actually gotten worse, if that were possible, Miss Clark said with a resigned air. I understand her home life is hard for happy. I can't really blame her for going the way she did. Never had a mother to look after her. Her father, at a loss, controlled her, let her away with too much for too long. Maybe Marie Matheson would set her straight. After all, you can have all the bug psychology you want, but it doesn't take from the fact that Cortina is just plain nuts, an instant of that. Couldn't call unexpected, paraphrased Elvis Costello, said Eukaria. She's maladjusted, if that's the criterion anymore, Miss Perlin. She didn't fit the autism spectrum, said Sister Eukaria. She just very badly behaved, if such a thing existed anymore. It doesn't have a fancy name attached to it. She had a final warning a few weeks back when she threw all the water in the gym toilet, said Eukaria. She's superstitious. She won't work any day in a winet, said Miss Clark, trying to raise his laugh. She's a criminal in the making. Napoleon of crime as far as the school's concerned, said Eukaria. She's lucky she has friends in high places. Marie had to talk Garda Dud out of making arrest. There's hope for her yet. As I say, young devil, old saint. Like St. Francis or the Buddha, said Miss Parlin. But she's as cheeky. You reprimanded her for smoking behind the gym often enough. She put up a fight there, even though we were still smelling it off her clothes, declared Miss Clark. She has the potential to be a straight-A student, but was at Welling. Her house has left her desolate. As we said, we thought Marie would sort her out, but she's having none of it, says the statistic area. Let's hope for the sake of everyone that it is just a phase she's going through, said Miss Parlin. She's still outside the door, sister. Tell her to get off the school ground sharper, said Mr. Clark. Do you know about the water fighting exam in the gym before the summer exams? Supplying the water balloons that were thrown at the boys' academy. She got them online, surmised Miss Parlin. Was she suspended back then? Inquired Miss Clark. That was her initial final worry, said Eukarya. Did you see her report cards? Has the ability, no effort, constantly disruptive. I had to send her father a lengthy letter in addition to her report card. As her approved grades, I don't go back to the school. First-rate brain, below average results, Miss Clark. We were once told that you can't divide by zero. She made a valiant attempt to do that with her report card, as you said. Her father was exasperated at the meeting with you to explain the dismal test results. Had to explain why she shouldn't repeat the year, said Miss Parlin. That's what bugs me. She's not stupid, and in fact, she's highly intelligent. She never uses her brain. She never works as a carrier. I thought geeks would inherit the earth. She probably fits the bill, said Miss Clark. I seriously wish, said her father at today's PTA meeting, that he could rip that intelligence out of her and give it to somebody who could do with it, said Eukarya. She stood outside, said Miss Parlin. Sister Eukarya came up behind Cortina. True to form, she was there. Oh, by the way, Cortina, we forgot to switch off the intercom off while we were talking to you. Goodbye. We slammed the door for you. The bell rang conveniently for lunch. Cortina knew that she was in trouble again, and not for the last time. Everybody's eyes were pointing at her, the fixing blame where intended. She knew it would happen someday, and she was almost ecstatic. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Patricia.
I forgot to say if anybody wants one, so.
Fabulous. Come up to Patricia if you want to buy a copy. And actually, Stan's, just as a reminder, Stan's book Found is available. And his miniature book. What's the miniature one called?
Almost Found.
Almost. okay, so we will move on to Zoom. So could we have Sifongo, please?
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. So my name is Pongo. I'm a spoken word artist who comes from Zimbabwe, currently living in Sierra Leone. I'm going to recite a poem. Titled "The Man in the Mirror." I think I've recited here before. I'm not sure, but yeah, I'm going to do that poem. I can tell you all my secrets, but nah, they are not important. Instead, I write about how the world is and how it's supposed to be like. Well, that's according to me and the ones who inspire. I get on stages to shine the light, showing you how I made my life right. Maybe that is not right. Maybe all I'm after is your Facebook like, retweeting endorsements from the cool kids, some of the things I hate to like and like how I hate. simple, like the economy resurrecting in 3 days, like Jesus. I mean, running out of Viagra is turning you to a preacher trying to conceal your savage ways, but the scars you inflicted on her are written all over your face. They scream each time you whisper, tell me, what's the scarf for? Yes, I am talking to you, scarf mo, basa kungombeya, won't you live there alone? I mean, the country has had enough of your forced fuckering. Oh, maybe they haven't. Shout out to the people of Sudan. They inspired me to do better than the man in the mirror. Maybe you'll never see me in the street again shouting erectile dysfunction out. Hashtag ED out. Maybe this is the last time I talk about him. For the truth is, I am my own man. My success depends on no other man or woman for that matter. So either him or Mwanawegutiorerwa Majigis Ake, it will never change the fact that I am of a higher power, a king by birth. This jungle outprotects. Making sure the only time I get beat, it's me beating on my chest. Peace.
Thank you, Spongo. I just want to check it. Colm, your names, are you going to? No, you're the film.
No,
no, it's going to
say Colm. You know it.
Too much culture. Okay, next could we have Shauna Lee Lynch.
I have many titles now after tonight.
What's your favorite title?
Well, I don't know. Let's think about it. So I nearly went mad during the summer. I've nearly gone mad on like a biannual basis, say. This time it was really deep there for a minute, but I feel much better now, and this is what this poem is about. So before I do it, because it is a bit, but I won't tell you what it is, I'm going to take a big deep breath in and I'll invite you to do the same. Lovely. This is called PMA, which means positive mental attitude. I tried to have a PMA, but I just said PMS. The platitude of gratitude seemed a bit far-fetched. Wrecked, exhausted, saw no alternative. There was two ways this could go. One involved a fairly grim outcome. The other, the one I conceded to, the reason I stand here in front of you is because I've gone full fucking woo-woo. I was fierce depressed being a nihilist till I realized that crying all the time about the state of the world ain't doing nothing for no one's soul. So half desperate, I opted into the sacred. Felt like a mad old queen asking angels to intervene, but I mean, we've circled around these themes for eons, so I deemed maybe there is something else going on, more than meets the eye. Not a bearded guy up in the sky, but something more universal, like acknowledging the spirit in one another. Look to the person next to you. One, do it. They were once just an embryo too, now they're a full-grown person with assertions, aspirations. That in itself is absolutely mental, so why are we so quick to disregard the transcendental? Oh no, not I. Oh no, not I. Not this chick. I say, ooh, sexy psychics, I'll give you all my money, read my aura, do my tarot cards, and I'll come out buzzing. All you naysayers, say what you want. Charlatans, who gives a fuck? If it makes me feel better, I'll give them all my tenors. This divination got me feeling so centered and connected. I don my jade, garnet, and agate. So many crystals, they'll see me from space. I trigger men all over the place. Talk of magic till we're blue in the face. Himalayan salt baths, Tibetan bowls. Essential oils get in my zone. Clean my chakras, get them aligned. Ooh yeah, this hippie life is sure damn fine. So shaman me up, baby. Activate my kundalini. Vibrate at a real high frequency. Yogi poses got me feeling alive. Pranic on my mind. Energy healers are the new drug dealers. So get in line. I'm not in denial. It's fine for me to say, just change your perspective. A person of relative privilege, as if it's that simple. When every day can feel like a battle uphill, I'm just sharing what helped me. Not saying give up therapy to go hug a tree and pray to goddesses, but it is my hypothesis that the existential dread can't get you down if you're real zenned out with your head in the clouds. So why the heck not? Hack that matrix to get your kicks. Tweak beliefs for more mystique. Meditate to the metaphysical to quit being so damn cynical, using all the tools at our disposal. But it's hard. It's all hard. So what harm if a few charms and spells help to dispel the pessimism? It feels like we're on the cusp of something pinnacle, for better or worse. So if the woo-woo works, then up the fuck. It sure beats being fed up. And sure, anything that promotes more love and compassion, then let's be having you. Now, I'm not saying I'm cured. I still have days I'm pure allergic, but I have started to appreciate all of the little things. Writing it down in my journal. The eventual goal is to rip through a hole in the multiverse and stop equating work to self-worth. But for now, I just say thank you. And you know what? I really mean it too.
Thanks so much.
What issues?
So could we have Michael Olson, who is on Zoom?
Yes. Hello. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Great. Well, thank you for having me. I'm awed by the poetry I've heard so far. And I'm Mike Olson. I'm from the U.S. in Ohio. Poem I'm going to read is Ars Poetica. It's a poem about a poem, basically. And it's called First I Would Have Her Be Beautiful. First, I would have her be beautiful, but in ways that only my eyes would know. It should be easy for my fingers to trace the soft curves of her meaning into words. Next, I would have her sing each syllable with a savagery that would banish the siren in my head into a faraway and faint horizon. There would be no lipstick lies, no life bedazzled or animal skins on spandex, only her, pure as she came into being. Her skin would be invisible to the touch, her truths hidden within caged and frigid sinew, unless caressed with the ferocity of my soul and heat. I would need her the way a bomb needs its fuse, and try to unfold the scissored angles of her legs into a bear trap for my humanity. I would not have her smell like something else. I would have her smell like the thing she is, the smell of life in pheromone-scented bosoms. And in my days of absolute memory and chivalrous dreams, I would want her waiting to catch me, ready to squeeze the bleeding light out of me, until finally I would read her to the world and know that once she was beautiful before I found and wrote her. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. So next we have, again on Zoom, Brian Franco, or Generalissimo.
Thank you very much. I was hoping I might be able to read two shorter poems. Is that okay?
Yep. Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. We got to pull them up again. Here we go. So the first is called I've Fallen and Can't Put Myself Together Again. When my heart breaks, it shatters like a sliding glass door slowly fracturing into different size bits, each falling separately inside my body. It is the job of my soul to sweep up errant fragments with a dollar store whisk broom and dustpan, then epoxy the shards into a new heart that will be incomplete and need to regenerate particles who never found their way into the dustpan. My new heart will have learned lessons but have new parts that will make old mistakes that will lead to another heartbreak and another newly epoxied heart and another heartbreak and another new heart and so on and so forth. And such is the way of the heart. And this is called Falling Free. They are yellow, red, orange, green, and brown. They are maroon, rust, ochre, umber, goldenrod, burnt sienna, and sunshine. They are paprika, turmeric, ginger, cinnamon, cardamom, and mace. They are mustard, ketchup, barbecue sauce, and salsa. They are melted processed cheese product atop blue tortilla chips with avocado, purple olives, red onions, and electric orange habaneros. They are every color in a carrot cake. They are a swirl of melted milk, chocolate, and pureed raspberries. They are Mother Nature performing a striptease. These autumn leaves. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brian. So we're going to come back in the room, and we have the fabulous Julie Goo.
Thanks, Jim. Here's a fun little ditty for Culture Night. If Amanda Palmer were your father, you step down off the ledge. Sorry. If Amanda Palmer were a farmer, you'd eat your fruit and veg. And if she were your father, you'd step down off the ledge. If Elvis were a pelvis, a thrust that you could trust, burning up a sweat from ashes into dust. If Bono were a soup, you'd find him hard to swallow, modified genetically, leave you feeling hollow. If Dolly Parton were a book, you'd savour every word, educate and power all the boys and all the girls. If John Waters were a river, polluting land and sea, O'Doherty would kayak the wrong way arrogantly. If the Taliban were half the man of Malal in Pakistan, they'd know courage and integrity, a matriarchal fan. If Martin Luther were king, we'd bow down at his feet, and black lives, they would matter on every bloody street. If I were a prophetess manifesting prophecy, I'd let women tell their stories and plant an apple tree. And from the apples that would grow, we'd feed on apple strudel, and on the beds in our red tents, we'd shimmer and canoodle.
Thank you so much, Julie. Okay, next, could we have Mags Creedon? Oh no, yeah. Mags Creedon online.
Here. I suppose it's good to see you all. I've been missing for a while, medical issues. Won't get into those. But I did actually keep working with my songwriting groups and, you know, Anna MacDonald and John Spillane. I did a songwriting workshop with him, and Munster Lit gave me a little one-to-one mentorship with him. So three nights, three songs. You get short time, just like O'Vale. So this is the third one, which was about, you know, facing the sun, you know, like a sunflower. So it's a short little simple song. But where it was in the night, you can only write very honestly, you know. Can you hear that? Today you say to face the sun. Can feel it warm on my skin. My eyes can shrink and retract. That might as touch might just come back. Forget the moody, broody, sulky skies. The southerlies flying, gullies crying.
forget what you no longer need. Think of only what you keep. Turn to the light like a sunflower to the blue skies. Turn your back into the dark. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fix your life. Never knew my breathing was so taut. Feels as tight as a drum. Can draw my breath easy now. There is room. All that you let go, the trust I wasted on fake heroes. Broken words, whispered songs. I'll write again and I'll stay strong. Turn to the light like a sunflower to the blue skies. Turn your back into the dark. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fix your life. Think of all that you let go now. Think of what you really need to keep now. Dream of all that you will be now. Today you say to face the sun, can feel it warm on my skin. My eyes can shrink and retract, but the Midas touch might just come back. Think I can forget the moody, broody, sulky skies. The southerlies flying, gullies crying. Think what you let go. All the things that you must know. Turn to the sun like a blue star to the blue sky. Turn your back into the dark. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fix your life. Straighten up and fix your life. Enough of that? Oh, my
star. Beautiful, thank you, Meg. Next, we're going to go back into the room with Rosie O'Regan.
Rosie.
Paul is throwing curveballs to the MC. Okay, so this poem was written as part of a kind of collaboration with a dancer and a cello player. So it's going to come with a few little instructions. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a minute. Picture a woman, a dancer. Kanako is her name. She stands not too far away from you. Her eyes are closed, inward looking. See her breath move through her body, subtly, nuanced, so very slowly. She rises, her hands lift, opening like a leaf unfurls. First roots for Kanako. She dreams of becoming a tree, to speak the language of leaves in all weather. She imagines roots, delicate as veins, strong enough to etch through rock. The hairline cracks.
always that thirst for water, clear as the look in her eye when words lose all meaning. Soil of the earth, sky, rain, feet, trunk, eyes, branch, hand, leaves. Her fingers filter sunlight. See her move. Be moved.
Well done.
Thank you, Rosie and Kanako. That was lovely. Okay, next, could we have Fergus Costello?
Listen, thanks. I saw the poster there for the Munster Slam, and I have had the privilege of representing Munster 6 times in the All-Ireland Slam, and in retrospect, I am so, so grateful that I never won it. Because knowing myself as I do, I would without doubt have disappeared up my own yin yang with arrogance and pride, thinking that I was a poet, and I've enough to regret in my life without that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do one from 10 years ago, and this one is called, still a favorite of mine, it's called Extract from a Letter to the Fella That Used to Be Married to My Sister. You wanted to do something new, reinvent yourself. You said you were fed up with your humdrum married life and my little sister Mary, or as you called her, your boring Irish dancing country culty wife. So you got yourself a Portuguese lingerie model as a girlfriend. She looked good. Sitting beside you in your new BMW XLYZ series so-and-so, something or other, only 6 others like it in the country, went from 0 to 100 miles an hour in 3 seconds flat. Imagine that, you said. 10 miles to the gallon, but you could afford it. What with making obscene amounts of lorry loads of money from your ridiculous project manager's job. Telling other people how to do their job, even though everybody knew you hadn't got a bog's notion how to tell your metatarsal from your scrotum, couldn't hang a shelf without help to save your life, didn't know the difference between a bolt and a screw, but said, hey, you knew how to tell other people how to do. You were one of the new breed of Irish people, not afraid to take your place sitting up at the big boys' table. Seeing the cake sitting up there, want to take a great big slice of it for yourself, going all the way to the top, nobody going to stop you realizing your full potential. Investment and consultancy was the way to go. Advising other people how to, and of course you got yourself a so-and-so property portfolio. Villas in Marbella, apartment blocks in Greece. Oh! Oh, 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 Must have come as a terrible shock when you arrested in Bangkok airport with 25 kilos of cocaine in your suitcase. There must be some mistake, you said. I don't know how that got there. Your Portuguese lingerie girlfriend nowhere to be seen as you were sent down for 16 years in the Bangkok Hilton. The warders, governor of the prison, could not believe their luck to have you as their special guest on call 24 hours a day, just in case they ever needed someone to tell them how to do their job. P.S. My little sister Mary sends her regards. She's got a message for you, wants me to pass it on. Her message is clear, unambiguous. Even a dumb nuts moron like you should be able to understand it. It's simple, it's precise, it's concise, it's only got three words. Go fuck yourself. And if you don't know how to do that, I'm sure there are some fellas close at hand who'll be more than happy to do it for you. I am so glad, seriously, so glad you finally realized your full potential. In the meantime, go fuck yourself.
Thanks very much, Fergus. See a few more people came into the room there. Does anyone else want to come up? Jerry, Pat, people at the back. You want to read the poem? Okay. Okay, so next up, can we have Kieran McCartan, please?
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, I just wanted to say a huge congratulations to Stan on launching his collection tonight. It's kind of a poetry journey we've all been on for a while, and I'm totally looking forward to spending some alone time in that collection and engaging with it. And so, congratulations. This is called on train mannerisms in Manchester. Thank you for travelling on the Transpennine Express. We hope you've had a lovely evening, and don't forget, if you see anything suspicious, please report it to the Manchester Metropolitan Police. Well, which one of you fucks am I going to grass up next? Every day I ride the train, surfing the rail network like Tony Hawk in his mid-70s, and to be honest, these are all looking a bit suspicious. Couldn't hold a stare even if it was turning off the lecky in the chair for you. Couldn't sit still and let the world go by on the way to where you're going if it gave you a third kidney. Eyes like a swivel chair testing centre. Hands like a sorting office short of Christmas. Until you've eyes like fat schoolchildren, pupils in a perfect round shape. Hands like you're testing slate for weight and then for texture. Taken for a joyride in every gesture. We all pray for what we don't want sometimes.
Thanks, Kieran. And next up, can we have Brendan Duffin, please?
Hello. So I'll give you two short poems and then a haiku. This first one's called Gift. Gift. There's a secret language in the white flashes of moving branches. This one's called No Reason. An urge to write this, no reason, rhyme season. Same old possessions all around, no great change, even smaller, resounds. Not my place to leave things in, this silence could be anything. And I'd like you. Spring day, A dog sits guarding the universe.
Thank you. So no one else is on the list, but I was thinking of doing a poem if you have me. So does anyone not know what Grindr is?
Yes.
It's a gay dating app. So this is a kind of an experimental poem of mine. It's called A Cyborg Tries Online Dating with Grindr. Target identified. Discreet elderly gentleman effaced by Microsoft Paint. Compromising user's Facebook account. Importing data. Intimating interest. Good evening, Mr. Walsh. I am interested in making your acquaintance. Your feline pet is aesthetically pleasing. How is your wife? Mr. Walsh replies that he got lost on the internet. Blocking Mr. Walsh. Subject is trying to deflect from sexuality or is technologically inept. The truth does not interest me. Phase 2, create enticing profile. Option 1, topless photograph of self in bathroom mirror. Memo, contact manufacturer for muscle upgrade. Option 2, photograph of self imbibing alcohol with human companions. Error, do not have any human companions. Option 3, photograph of self with Mr. Walsh's feline pet photoshopped into my arms, smiling widely. Image uploaded and approved. Running diagnostics for finding love. Okay. Users are sending me images of their pelvic appendages. Replying to users with images of my serial number and headphone jack. Users are blocking me. Interest expressed by one software engineer. My interest is not reciprocated. Potential for gaslighting and reprogramming too high. Phase 4. Users are online, but nobody's writing to me. Initiating self-doubt sequence. Am I unattractive? 0101. Is image of feline companion too personal? 0101. Considering deletion of Grindr. Scanning for love. Running diagnostics for finding love. No connection available. No connection available. No connection.
Oh.
Okay. That's the end of it. Thank you. I'll leave you with that, on that weird note. But a big thank you to our guest poets, Stanley Knott. And Dimitro Latzukin. And to Paul for organizing this study. As always.